Hey everyone, I'm Chuck Peters, your host, and you're listening to the new Kids Ministry 101 podcast, a show designed to inform, instruct, and inspire kids ministry leaders and volunteers. This week's episode comes from our national ETCH Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for ETCH, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the ETCH conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. We are recording today at the ETCH Family Ministry Conference, a conference put on by Lifeway Kids and Lifeway students at the Music City Center in Nashville, Tennessee every October. If you are not here, I would love to invite you to come back next October and join us here in Nashville, where you can come together with hundreds of other leaders like you who are looking to be encouraged, looking for information, looking for education. And guys, we want to equip you. And that's the whole nature of ETCH. ETCH stands for Equipping the Church and Home. And we know that what we do at Lifeway is we equip you in your church, and you are the ones who reach into the home. And so as we talk about reaching into the home, part of that is reaching into parents. And parents come in many shapes, sizes, and from many different points of view. Today we will be talking about interacting with and serving millennial parents, understanding, equipping, and being empowered to serve millennial families, millennial parents of children well. And our guest today is Dr. Shelley Melia, and we are thrilled to have her here. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Always great to have you. And so it's fun to come to, again, I mentioned I welcome listeners to come to ETCH because you can get face-to-face with people like Shelley, and you can take time. We have just a few minutes to touch on this topic, but if there are things that are pressing on you, if there are answers you're looking for, interactions you need, this is a great place to come, and you can grab a cup of coffee and sit down with Shelley and talk at length and pick her brain. And so we would welcome you to do that. Dr. Shelley Melia has served as a children's minister for more than 20 years in Oklahoma, Florida, and Texas. All of that was prior to her joining the faculty at DBU, Dallas Baptist University, where she's the Associate Dean of the Graduate School of Ministry and directs the Master of Arts in Children's Ministry and the Master of Arts in Family Ministry programs. Most importantly, she's a proud mom of her three children, and she is a thought leader and influencer who we can look to as we seek to navigate the ins and outs of children's ministry. And so today we will be talking about engaging the parents of the children and students that we minister to. It can be challenging. And so we want to talk about some important issues to help you understand, equip, and empower the parents of children that in the ministry that you serve, and specifically those parents who may be of a different generation than
right.
you are, the millennials.
Yes.
And so, Shelley, tell us a little bit about this millennial. Now, we may have some listeners
right.
who are leading, who are millennials, and uh-huh. so they may already understand this.
Right.
For those of us who may be of another generation,
yes.
What's unique about this this generation of millennial moms and dads?
Okay. Well, the millennials are really an interesting group of people. And as I kind of define who they are, one thing that I want to make very clear is these characteristics are what we find in the literature of all millennial parents. So these are not necessarily Christian millennial parents. These are just millennials in general. So we would hope that Christian parents would be a little different. But as I describe them, I want to make sure that you understand I'm coming just from a general broad perspective of millennials in general.
Okay,
and
fair
so,
enough.
When we think about the millennials, those generally are grouped from born between 1980 and 2000. So they're the very young parents who bring their kids to our ministries right now. They are beginning to come to our ministries. And so they are the parents that we are going to need to equip and empower and educate and give them resources. And so some of the characteristics of them would be that they were raised as consumers. They have been marketed to since they were in utero. And so that's one of the things they really push back against, is they really don't want to be seen as a prize to be won, because that's how they've been seen all their lives. But they really don't just want to be a consumer, but they also want to be a contributor. They also are the most diverse generation that we've ever had. And so diversity is a beautiful thing in the body of Christ. And that's what God desires. And so that's a really cool thing. But they are the most diverse. They're also the most educated. They've been given the most opportunities. You know, information is at their fingertips in any moment's notice. So they have unlimited access to information. The thing that they don't have is the wisdom to go with it, and the experiences and the life experiences. And that's what we have to offer as the older generation, hopefully, is to help them use that information. But they're also the largest generation, even bigger than the boomers. And so that's good news for some of us who want to retire someday, that they can fund our retirement. But they are the largest. And they were raised, many of them, by helicopter parents, where a lot of intrusion almost by parents and helping them solve all of their problems and taking care of everything. And so that impacts them as a group in a way that's very interesting. And then finally, I would say they are they're participation and performance driven, in the sense that they're really the first generation that got a trophy for everything they ever did. Okay. So if they just participated, you know, they got a trophy. And we're seeing that that's probably wasn't the best model because of some of the problems that we're having now. But they're also very performance driven in the sense that many times they're more interested in what they do than who they are. You know, it's important to them to do lots of things and for their kids to do lots of things. But there's not always a great emphasis on the character development.
Mm. So how does that affect our approach as the church, as we seek to engage with these millennial parents?
Yeah, that's the challenge. But there's some really encouraging things about millennials. One of the things that you find in the literature is that they have an emphasis on serving more so. They want to make a difference. And for many of them, an introduction to the church is through some type of a service opportunity. It could be through through a Christmas event at your church they would want to get plugged into. It could be through a benevolence ministry, a soup kitchen, those types of things. It could be through human trafficking or adoption. This generation has had the world right in their face since the time they were born. They're digital natives. So they've seen all of these social injustices in the world, and they want to do something about it. And so that's why you see such an interest in this generation in adoption and such an interest in human trafficking, because they know and understand it at a different way than we did. And so they have these really inclusive passions that maybe we didn't have, that are more broad in spectrum. And so those are some really good ways to get them involved in churches, through serving in those social injustice type issues, to get them into the door. But they're not really all that interested in your church as an institution. They've seen institutions rise and fall. They had a front row seat to Enron and to the Catholic sex abuse church scandal and all of those things that we never saw. Perhaps they were happening, but we never saw it like they've seen it. And so they have this real pessimistic view of institutions, because just about every institution has disappointed them. And so they don't look to the church like other generations have. They don't see the church as a package deal so much as they pick and choose what relates to them, kind of more of a modular approach to things. And so we have to keep that in the back of our mind as well.
And they may not tend to be as denominationally oriented.
No,
is that true?
Not at all. I mean, it's really whatever is, unfortunately, whatever's working for them. Mm-hmm. And so they may be involved in one church during the week and another church on the weekend. And that's that modular approach, almost like Legos, where they're constantly building whatever it is that they're interested in by taking bits and pieces of religion and putting it together to fit them. But they're not taking the wholesale approach of, I'm going to go to this church and I'm going to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, like previous generations. They're really looking at it more in bits and pieces.
So they're action oriented,
right?
And they're motivated by purpose,
right?
So
right.
One thing that we can do is clearly define the mission and vision and values of why we're doing what
right.
we're doing.
Focus on big ideas, not on the institution itself. They're not going to be loyal to your programs. They're going to be loyal to relationships and things that make a difference in the lives of people. So those are the positive things, you know, about them.
But definitely different than in the past, where people might choose a church based on the name. On even the names of churches have changed, right? We have Harvest Community Church. You don't know what that is until you really dig
until
in
you get
deep
into it, right.
to find out their affiliations.
Yeah.
Where in the past you would go to whatever flavor of church you were raised in, and that's just where you are.
Right.
People are much more open about that in this current generation, and looking for authenticity.
Right, that's a big deal. One of the things that I found is that they really value authenticity over relevance. Mm. And in the church, in the past 20 years, we've really focused on being relevant.
That word relevant has been a big buzzword.
That's been a really
church.
Big buzzword. Yeah. And I think that because the world is so transparent, because we see it, whether that be through social media, through Facebook, through whatever newscasts you may watch, but because the world is transparent, they really expect the church to be transparent. And so they're not as attracted so much by the church that has the lights and the bells and the whistles and the pastor with skinny jeans on anymore. It's, I want to be with people that I know are real and that are broken just like me, and that we can journey together in this journey to find purpose and meaning in Christ. And so that word authenticity is really a buzzword for them and is really important. They want to be with people who are authentic.
So understanding this, these tendencies or characteristics of the adults, these adult millennials, why is that so important to us as kids ministry leaders?
Right. Well, they are the parents that you're dealing with. And one of the things that's important is that because of a decline in attendance, because these millennial parents are not as inclined, they're not going to get a perfect attendance award. That's just not even on their radar anymore. And so they're not at church as much. And so it really decentralizes discipleship back to the home. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a scriptural thing. But unfortunately, they're not all equipped to do that. They have not been discipled themselves, because many of them grew up in large group ministries where we didn't emphasize the small group ministry. And so they're left a little bit unprepared for what it is that they need to do. And so as a church and as children's ministers, we're not just children's ministers anymore. We're family ministers. And so we have to figure out ways to equip those parents creatively, you know, through text, through podcasts, through whatever it might be that's going to get and penetrate into their home so that they have the tools to do that. That's why it's important for us to know and to understand where they're coming from.
Okay, so you mentioned technology. They tend to be a very technologically literate group of people.
Yes.
Very comfortable with technology. It's possible that you as a kids leader are not.
Right.
So how important is that communication with them? How frequently do we need to communicate? And what types of channels do you recommend?
Right. Well, those are changing every day, because, you know, 5 years ago, email was the way to communicate with every parent. And websites were the way. Now, I think that most millennials will read a text before they'll read an email. And so we have to understand that just sending out mass emails may not be the best way to communicate with them anymore. I don't know what it'll be after text. I know that social media, a lot of people like their information delivered through social media. But we have to, I think that's where we have to keep those parents that we know that are faith-driven. We have to talk to them and say, okay, what's the best way to communicate with you? Because the way that I communicate in my generation is going to be different. And so always kind of staying on the cutting edge of that.
So especially if they're not in attendance every week,
right?
Making an announcement from the platform may not be the most effective way to communicate something that's happening in your ministry. So embracing technology, Facebook groups, text, you mentioned text, and pushing that information out to those parents, so key. And then as a teaching tool or equipping tool, in addition to communicating what's happening in kids ministry this way, how can we use those kind of tools to set those parents up to have catalytic spiritual conversations in the home?
Right. Well, I mean, one of the ways that you can do it that I've seen done that I think is pretty effective is I get a text every Sunday after church with some questions to ask my teenager about content for that week. And so figuring out ways to kind of under the table provide information for parents to say, here's what your kids talked about today. Here's a couple of questions for you to ask them, allows us to kind of spark that conversation. And for those who didn't come that Sunday, it makes them realize, oh, I missed something. My child missed that story or that concept. And so podcasts like this one, I think, are important, even for training teachers. Getting people to come on a Wednesday night for 2 hours is difficult.
Yes.
And so we have to be really creative with how we deliver information. Mm. And it's probably not going to be the same. It won't be the same for a millennial as it will be for a boomer or a Gen X.
And I suppose a good thing there is because they're more concerned, generally speaking, with authenticity than with flash.
Right.
We don't have to have a beautiful website. We don't have to. A simple text can go a long way to help you connect with them.
Relationships matter. They've always mattered.
Yeah.
And one of the things that this particular group wants is a mentor. And all the literature points to that. And some of that is driven by the fact that they had helicopter parents who were right there beside them every step of the way. And now they find themselves as an adult, and they don't have those relationships outside of their family to help them. And so one of the things you hear over and over in the literature on millennials is that they actually want a mentor. Well, mentorship takes a relationship, and it has to be intergenerational. In order for a mentor to work, typically they're a little further down the road than you are. And so finding ways to incorporate intergenerational mentorship, I think, is a way also to equip those parents. Because there's this gap right now in our churches where we have the older generation who have been so loyal and so faithful, and then we have this new generation who's not connected to them. Because in many cases, they worship in a different way, in a different time than the younger generation. And so finding ways to create those relationships, those mentorships, are going to help transition them into the disciplers of their home that we know they're going to have to be, because they're not going to be at church like they were when we were growing up. They're going to need to be the disciplers of their own children.
Fascinating. Well, Shelley, thank you so much for your time, for your insights. Listener, we encourage you to engage with those millennial parents. Lean in on technology. Build authentic relationships. As Shelley said, mentorship and discipleship happen in relationship. And so do whatever you need to do to make that connection. It's really not so much any longer about flash. It's truly about substance as we seek to equip and empower millennial parents to disciple their own children at home. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Again, I'd like to invite you to come and join us to be part of conversations like the one that you just heard at this year's Etch Conference. It's happening October 16th through 18th here in Nashville at the Music City Center, and we'd love for you to be here. All the details on the event are over at our website at etchconference.com. We already have some great keynote speakers that are lined up for this year, including Dr. Eric Mason, Angie Smith, and Pastor Robbie Gallaty. You can also sign up for our email updates so you'll be one of the first to know when we add more speakers and topics in the days ahead. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. We hope you'll join us again next week right here on the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.